This is FM 95.7, KKWC Radio, Webster City. Welcome to our Community Corner for the second day of June. It's my pleasure speaking with our Webster City City Manager, John Herrenstein. Join me in the studios live on this Tuesday morning. John, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, Pat.
And we had quite the meeting last night, a lot of public hearings and so forth.
It was a pretty packed agenda, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. In a good 45-minute time frame from what I timed this morning.
How long?
About 45 minutes.
Is that right?
From when I had the video on till...
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So we had two public hearings that were one of the highlights at last night's meeting. Two of them.
Well, one was on the expansion of the Riverview.
Yes.
Tax increment financing urban renewal boundaries. So there was an old TIF district that encompassed Custom Meats, Marianne's, and Tassler's. That was sort of decertified. And then those properties were added into the Riverview TIF urban renewal. And then the council did increase the budget for the Riverview TIF district to accommodate some of the work they're going to be doing on the buildings that we anticipate coming along this summer.
Let's refresh our memory to those in the audience about what buildings we're looking at there.
Yep. So the first one is the property at the corner right across from the Freeman Journal Lotus. The thrift store's located there. There's a statue of a horse on the corner of that intersection. There's going to be wall repair and roof work done there to remove the barricades. Also, likely, we'll be proceeding with demolition of the Coulter building at some point in time this summer. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be some additional work on the McNeil building here. And all of that is aimed to open the sidewalks up. Remember, a downtown committee has been formed. Councilor John Marvel is chairing that and staffed with the Hamilton County Growth Partnership and local businesses, and they're making recommendations to get these barricades out and get the buildings either down or fixed.
I think there's some positive and some negative things with the tearing down of the Coulter building, because that was kind of a Webster City icon for so many years in downtown Webster City, the paint store and such.
Yeah, you know, that's got to be one of the older buildings in town.
Yes.
I think originally a harness shop at some point had a movie theater in it. This is early 1900s. And then was a series of different businesses until it came to what I think most people remember to be Coulter's. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the structural engineering reports indicate that bringing that building back into repair is just going to be very costly, far outweighing the cost of demolition.
Mm-hmm. So that's why the building is coming down, Coulter's and the two other buildings.
Well, that's the recommendation.
Recommendation.
So the council will take up that matter probably sometime later this summer. But
mm-hmm. Very good. Let's also talk about the Fair Avenue area. There's a project there, too, which a one-time city council member, Logan Welch, has been involved in.
Yeah, that's a nice reuse of a piece of property the city picked up last year. For folks that may not know the area, it's out by the new Quick Trip, up by the tracks. There's a parcel of property that sort of goes along the tracks between that pedestrian bridge and what I'd call the new Quick Trip. That had a lot of junk and old cars in it. The city picked it up through a nuisance process last year. And early this year, former Councilman Welch, owner of Awesome Mowing, along with John Anderson, also owner of Awesome Mowing, proposed that they'd like to construct a permanent home for their business on that property. And so they've acquired it and will be constructing some structure there by 2029.
All right, that'll be about, let's see, that would be about 3 years down the road.
3 years down the road, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to begin improving the property and cleaning it up and doing some work on it. So it's a positive step forward.
And they're doing some work around town right now with Logan Welch and Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, you'll remember that they were awarded the contract for our nuisance mowing earlier this year. And so, yeah, they're very busy this time of year.
John, also last night there was the setting the date for a meeting coming up in 2 weeks on June 15th. That's regarding a big project we're all excited about here in Webster City, the former Kenco warehouse, also for natural shrimp.
Yeah.
And that was still located just across from the old Electrolex plant. That is for the Edible Garden Prairie Hills LLC firm.
Yeah, so the council set the public hearing to approve that development agreement. The development agreement is drafted. It requires the company to invest at least $25 million into the structure to maintain it and to, you know, operate the business as they've proposed through their work with the IEDA and us. In exchange, they're eligible to receive up to $6.3 million in tax increment financing. That will probably be paid over 15 years. The good news for the community is not only just the investment in that building, which is aging, but also the addition of 40 jobs and another active industry in our market. In addition, the company is not requesting 100% of the tax increment financing that they'll likely create. So we will have additional funds to continue our redevelopment work downtown.
And expected to open, John, about sometime in 2027 for the Edible Gardens facility?
I believe so, yes. Yep, I forget the timeline. It's on that business incentive application. But yes, I suspect they'll be open in 2027, maybe third quarter.
Okay, so yeah. But I would say maybe around late summer, early fall mm-hmm. for that project. Again, we're talking with City Manager John Herrenstein this morning live right here on KQWC Radio, recap of last night's City Council meeting. Now, there's also a lot of housing activity going on in Webster City, John. One of them is the square footage of model lot pricing for the tiered dwelling size layout for the Brewer Creek Estates 5th and 6th edition on the south side of Webster City.
Yeah, so Brewer Creek is a subdivision along, you know, I would say it's sort of a butts Highway 20 there.
Mm-hmm.
The city constructed that subdivision in 2019, I would say.
7 years ago.
Since then, there's been a lot of changes, not only to the building economy, but also, you know, we went through the global pandemic. There's been a lot of changes in, you know, construction costs. So we are reducing the lot prices by about 65% in an effort to hopefully induce some additional building. And then we also partnered with Origin Homes to incentivize them to bring three homes to the subdivision as well. So great lower pricing for those folks that are thinking about building on some really great lots. I think, you know, to be honest, it's a really good value right now with the size of the lots and, and the price that the council determined.
And that was for what, for $300, I believe?
For Origin, yeah, they were incentive. But one thing on this Brewer Creek, the changes, not only was the price changed, but in addition, previously owners could not purchase two lots and build one home. The council agreed that they are willing to do that. Also, in other iterations or previous iterations of that subdivision, owners would sometimes buy a half a lot and extend one of the lots, and that's also going to be available as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's some big news for housing in Webster City.
Yeah, it's a good move. You know, we are short on single-family housing availability. We'd like to increase that the pace of development there. In 2025, we did not build a single-family home in Webster City. We have built one this year, but we need to be at least in that 5 to 10 home range to maintain our population long term.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Also, last night, John, there was the work with Williams and Company. I see here for this agreement for the city audit.
Yeah, so Webster City is audited annually, so you know, listeners and the public should be you know, comforted that, you know, an independent outside auditor takes a look at our finances every year to make sure that we're compliant with state statutes and general accepted accounting practices. Williams and Company has been with us for a long time. And in fact, I think the last two rounds may have been the only auditing firm that has submitted. It's getting very difficult to get auditing firms to bid on these projects just because of, I think, the lack of auditors going into that work. But yeah, so we're excited to work with them again. They've been a good team player with our finance staff and the council, and you know, so it's a good company.
And you had about what, six or seven other firms that applied for that, I believe.
Well, they were notified of the RFP. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they responded.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Also last night there, John, there was the discussion I'm seeing right here about our amending our city budget for 2026.
Yep, that is an annual sort of house cleaning item that Dodie Wolfgram does each year.
And does a good job, too.
Yeah, and at the end of the year, just takes a look at various funds and various activities and makes the necessary amendments to keep in compliance with state code and with the auditing process. So, yeah, it was generally just cleanup. No big surprises there.
All right, so that nothing big out of that. And we also have some street projects. I mean, we're not seeing too much in the summertime in Webster City for street work, so I guess we're okay at this point.
Well, you know, like I said, we slammed pretty hard last year with those four projects, so we decided to give the residents a little reprieve. TK Concrete, though, is going throughout the community and doing various concrete patching. So they're up in the Fairmeadow, North Terrace area right now.
So on the south side of Webster City.
Yep, and then we did have Fort Dodge Asphalt slip in early in the season and do some overlay work up by Wilson Avenue and some of those streets that go down to 2nd that are on the hills. Those needed some work with their asphalt. Good news is when we closed out the Brewer-Wilson project and then the Beach Street project, there was some savings. So I'm hopeful that we might be able to get a little more asphalt in at the end of the season. Or maybe continue the chip seal program. Mm-hmm.
So that was all covered last night, all approved last evening. I see here, John, according to the info I have here. So now we got that out of the way. Outdoor pool open for the season. I think we neglected to mention that last night during the city council meeting about how the first day went.
What a great day. I always stop out on opening day, take a look at the facility. It's looking great. There's some new items at the concession stand. In addition, we've got, really want to thank the sponsors who went out and bought banners. There's banners hanging on the fence, and it's a great way to advertise your business to a lot of folks in the summer. And then new additions, the staff bought additional umbrellas for shade for patrons of the pool, and then also some larger shade structures. So, you know, if you're worried about getting too much sun, you can hopefully find a spot.
Yep. That's been a Webster City institution, I think, now, John, for, golly, about 35, 36 years?
Yeah, it's a fun place. It was good to see all the kids there. You know, I've been to a lot of different communities. I've been in a lot of different, public swimming pools. The Webster City facility has a couple of unique features that I think help it stand apart. It's got that zero depth entry for the toddlers. Right. And it's got a little shallower entry for sort of the intermediate kids. And then it's got the deep end for the larger folks. So it's very accessible for families.
Indeed. And still going strong after all these years. Yeah. I think there was talk at one time about having a new pool in Webster City. Am I correct on that?
Well, I've heard that too. My crystal ball does not see that. But I do think that I do think that we could do some enhancements with some features and, maybe some different things that would continue to make it as interesting as some of these other water parks. Unfortunately, right now, any type of pool renovation would be several million dollars, likely require a vote of the public. And as you know, and have sort of sat through all these meetings, we are on a trajectory of making property taxes and utility rates more competitive. And so there's constraints there.
Mm-hmm. So that explains why for that. Riverview Daycare Center, are they having a groundbreaking for that soon, yeah, there, John?
So I can give an update there. They are finalizing they're working with their contractor, Woodruff, to finalize the total project amount. And then there's demolition going on in the building. And I suspect they'll be turned loose to begin the remodel here within the next 2 weeks. Hopefully that will open December, likely January of 27. So work is diligently happening and progress is being made. I think, you know, big thank you to the Riverview board. Nick Lincoln, Jesse Sucraw, Janet Adams, Dick Anderson are just really doing a lot of yeoman's work to create a quality child care facility for the folks in Webster City and Hamilton County. And they're putting a lot of time and effort in it. I'm excited for the product. I think not only is it going to renovate a facility in the community. It's going to allow Riverview to expand, and we're going to have, I think, around 50 additional slots for childcare.
For those wondering, this will be located there at the corner of Ohio and Superior Street.
Ohio and Beach. The old Hy-Vee store.
That's where it'll be located, right?
Yep, right by the, I guess it's not right now. Ohio and, it's not Ohio and Beach, it's south of there a little bit, but the old Hy-Vee building, I think, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, the old Hy-Vee building.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And wasn't there supposed to be something there at Ohio and Des Moines Street, the empty lot?
So they originally were going to go to Hospital Hill.
Yeah, that's it.
But following their first round of fundraising campaign and following sort of the Webster City Daycare's decision to close, and you know, they were able to come together, so that facility became open and was a much affordable option than building new.
Which makes sense. So that'll be a work on the old Hy-Vee building to be the future home of Riverview.
Yes. Yep. City. You got it.
That'll be neat. Well, we have something coming up on the 25th of this month, and that is the state Iowa Economic Development Authority. The event that you talked about that last night on June 25th, and that is with the director coming to Webster City for the groundbreaking ceremony.
Ribbon cutting ceremony for the North the industrial park following the certified site completion. So Director Derman's coming up. There's going to be a ribbon cutting. I believe it's open to the public. Welcome anybody to attend there. And it will be held at the Briggs Woods Conference Center.
Okay. So, Briggs Woods Conference Center. Yeah. And what time is that on the 25th?
I'm guessing 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock on the 25th.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good. So we'll look forward to that. And, of course, we have the big first night of Market Night coming up this week.
Hey, it's exciting to be back in that swing. I think we bounced off of another successful Junk Fest a couple weeks ago.
Great turnout for that. So, it was a whole day of fun in Webster City. We had that. We had all those food trucks in Webster City and much more.
Yeah, and so now we're beginning that Market Night swing. I think it's been extraordinarily popular with residents. Gives us an opportunity to come together during the week in the summers, listen to some music, check out some of the vendors, maybe grab some stuff from the farmers market stands that are there, and appreciate the chamber's work to make that work.
And rumor has it that there'll be something special on the second and fourth Saturday evenings this summer in the garden there, right near the Elks building.
Oh, is that some music?
Yes.
That's going to be going on? Yeah, I know that there's a music group that's becoming more active and helping to add some vibrancy to that area, so we're excited for that. I think, you know, we're still waiting on Wildcat to open up at the Elks, but I understand that that's impending. And then we also had Ace Hardware open this month.
Yes.
And that was a nice addition. If you haven't been in the store, my goodness, they got a lot of offerings in there. So
that's good. I've seen a lot of traffic go by there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for the good of the cause there?
Always a pleasure to be out, Mr. Powers.
And we have another meeting coming up on the 16th of this month, John. And at that time, there will be that development agreement we have with Edible Gardens coming up. And what else are looking down the road?
I wish I knew. I'll know a little more next week.
Okay, sounds like a plan. John Herrenstein, pleasure talking with you this morning.
Thanks,
Pat. We'll do this again in about 2 weeks.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks very much. John Herrenstein, our city manager, joining us. Thank you very much, John Herrenstein on KQWC Radio. It's 10 now before the hour of 9 o'clock. We have 66 degrees on this Tuesday morning. Coming up next, we have a very special guest that's coming from Iowa State and Ames to Little Wall Lake Park near Jewell. Coming up tomorrow, we'll hear more about that right after we hear about this.